Is there a shift in the oil spill blame game?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good day to you. Happy Friday from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The White House panel investigating the oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico says British oil giant BP may not be the only one to blame. The panel's chief investigator claims Halliburton, which contracted to build the oil rig that exploded and caused the spill, didn't clearly inform BP the cement mix it used on the well was unstable. Overseas today, investors have been buying BP shares as a result. Barbara Shook is Houston bureau chief and reporter at large for Energy Intelligence Group. She's with us live from Houston. Good morning, Barbara.
Good morning.
To what extent does this absolve BP's responsibility, if at all?
I don't think it absolves BP's responsibility at all. Halliburton issued a long statement last night, about four pages, rebutting everything that was in the Presidential Commission's charges and then some.
Does this change the way contractors do business with these oil companies?
Yes, it has. Contractors and the oil companies are now stipulating far more detail in the terms of their relationships than they have before.
Far more details to sort of, you know, make sure that that they're not held responsible.
Make sure that the responsibility is spelled out. Who is exactly responsible for what? And also being more careful about who indemnifies whom for what.
And what does it mean for Halliburton going forward?
It probably won't have any impact for Halliburton. Yesterday, the company posted their contract with BP on their website, and one clause in there would purport, at least to a non-legal mind, to completely indemnify Halliburton for any financial responsibility for what's happened.
And keeps it in BP's hands, right?
Absolutely.
All right. Barbara Shook from Energy Intelligence Group. Thanks.
You're welcome.
News this morning from the Commerce Department. The nation's economy grew at a 2% annual clip for the last 3 months.
There are times, like in the past few years, when our economy is hit with as devastating a blow as we've seen, when credit is frozen, when demand is stalled, that we've got a responsibility to offer temporary and targeted incentives to spur investment.
Well, that's President Obama, who is still defending his stimulus program at a speech this morning at a metal workshop in Beltsville, Maryland. That 2% growth rate, by the way, is a little less than analysts were expecting. Let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed right now. The S&P off about a quarter of a percent. The Dow down 34 points now at 11,079. But NASDAQ is flat. European shares ended the day higher, about a tenth of a percent on average there. And markets in Asia were lower, even with Japanese companies, Honda, Mazda, Sony, and Panasonic, posting some profit hikes. Over in Europe, British Airways reported its first profit in 2 years. Airlines were particularly hard hit during the recession. But as the BBC's Rebecca Singer reports, it looks like business travelers are back, and that's giving airlines a lift.
On a plane flight, the real money comes from the business and first class cabins. And when companies tighten their purse strings during the recession, business travel fell dramatically. Willie Walsh is the chief executive of British Airways. He says the company has suffered 2 years of monster losses, but that major cost cutting and great staff had turned things around.
To get the business back into profitability has been a very, very hard job, and I think everybody at BA deserves great credit.
Walsh says the great results aren't just impressive in the face of the economic downturn. The airline's also been dealing with a labour dispute with cabin crew, which resulted in several days of strikes. And don't forget the Icelandic volcanic ash cloud, which stopped flights across Europe back in the spring. In London, I'm the BBC's Rebecca Singer for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. By Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio. And by the Wall Street Journal Weekend, offering four sections of ideas and information, available at newsstands every Saturday.
This weekend in the NFL, the Broncos take on the 49ers, but neither team will have a home field advantage. The game is going to be played in London. And that got our Freakonomics correspondent Stephen Dubner thinking. Welcome to the Marketplace Morning Report, Dubner.
Good morning, Chiatakis.
All right, so the Broncos 49ers game, even though it's being played in London, will be played exactly the same as it is here, right?
One key difference, you'll see more advertising on the field than the NFL typically allows here. But they take it a step further. They put big, fat corporate logos right over the heart on the players' jerseys. And it got me to thinking, why doesn't the NFL allow that?
You know, I've wondered about that too, Stephen. The NFL isn't shy about putting corporate names on stadiums, as we know. Would jersey ads be less valuable in the United States than in, say, Europe?
I don't think so. The top teams in Europe average about $17 million a year for the jersey sponsorship. I talked to some smart folks here. They estimated it might be worth about the same. So why pass it up? Why leave that money on the table? So I asked that to Joe Ellis, who's the chief operating officer of the Denver Broncos. And his answer is essentially tradition. But he also has this to say.
I will tell you that if you did do it, people would get over it very quickly and would accept it very quickly.
In fact, this season, for the first time, the NFL allowed teams to put paid sponsorship on their practice jerseys.
So then what's stopping this from happening?
The NFL doesn't want to cannibalize revenue from existing streams. The other thing is that the corporate sponsorship landscape is complicated. I talked to Keith Gordon from the marketing arm of the NFL Players Association, and he makes the important point that big-time players already have their own sponsorship deals.
If an NFL player has a sponsor logo on his jersey, it could simply prevent him from actually acquiring another deal with, let's say, another competitor.
So, Steve, you've seen Peyton Manning on all those TV ads for Sony. What if his team now, the Indianapolis Colts, what if they start wearing Panasonic jerseys? Mm. Now, all of a sudden, if I'm Peyton, I don't look like such an ideal Sony sponsor anymore. And it seems to look like the money that might flow directly to me is now being spread among my 52 teammates, kind of robbing Peyton to pay Paul and everybody else. And then there's the issue of how that money would get split between the players and the teams. The league and the players' union are not on the best of terms right now. There's a lockout pending for March, so they're not so likely to see eye to eye on something like splitting this kind of new dough.
Stephen Dubner, Freakonomics correspondent, thanks.
My pleasure. Thanks, Steve.
Check out FreakonomicsRadio.com. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
During the November sweeps, television writers lay it all on the line. They write episodes that change everything. Not the kind of pressure people miss, right?
It does, however, make me fondly reminisce about my time in the trenches. And by fondly reminisce, I mean wake up in the middle of the night screaming.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. You know, it ain't easy writing for TV. The story next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.